Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from the epistle for the 12th Sunday after Pentecost. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is God's word. At our Wednesday evening services, we've been studying the small catechism. We've been going through the different parts of the Christian faith, and we just finished 9 weeks in a row on the Lord's Prayer. That's because we took each part of it a week at a time. You have the introduction, Our Father who art in heaven, and then seven petitions. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. And then finally you have the conclusion. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And throughout that look at the small catechism and at the Lord's Prayer, we encouraged ourselves and challenged ourselves to remember the profound significance of the two words that are at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father. And the key to this morning's sermon is going to be remembering those two words, Our Father. And we often just kind of skip past that reality and maybe don't understand the impact of what it means that we call God our Father. I mean, he's more than just a master and we're his slaves, or a leader and we're the followers. I mean, there's that language in there as well. He's the king and we're, I guess, the subjects. But more than that, he's the Father and we're the children. That's really important to remember. And so this morning, I want you to hold on to that as we now unpack this epistle. Because God speaks a very, very challenging word to us. Did you catch the very end of the epistle where Paul says, be imitators of God? What does that look like, to imitate God? We have lots of things that we can ascribe to God. He's eternal, which we're certainly not. He's omniscient, all-knowing, which we are definitely not. He's omnipotent, all-powerful, which we're definitely not. He's omnipresent in every place at every time. That's not us. What does it mean to imitate God? Well, Paul told us that in the text. To no longer walk as the Gentiles do, Paul says. Put off your old self and put on the new self. Paul tells us to speak the truth. He tells us, be angry, but do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. He says, let the thief no longer steal, that all people should be concerned about the needs of those around them. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. Paul says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. He says, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander should all be put away. He says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. He says, walk in love. That is what the Christian life looks like. In a nutshell, you are different from those outside the church. Paul says in the very get-go. He says, no longer walk as the Gentiles do. And he's not just talking about people who were non-Jewish, because of course the Ephesians themselves were not Jews. The new Israel is the church. We are members of Israel because we are the church. So the Gentiles that Paul is talking about are those outside the church. Don't walk like they do, he says. Your life should look different. When people look at you and your life that you live, they should be able to say, wow, that person's different. I wonder why they live in such a way. They're different from all the people I know who don't go to church. What makes them so different? We are, in the words of Paul, to be in the likeness of God, true righteousness and holiness. We're in trouble. Because I don't know about you, that's sure not me. I look at my life and I see a lot that's not holiness, a lot that's not righteousness, and I know the same can be said for each and every one of you. You know, the world calls us here in the church, they call us hypocrites. They're right. We are. We have been called by God's word to do one thing, because God's word says one thing. All these things I just read off for you, and yet our thoughts, our words, our actions, they reveal another thing. Sin and wickedness and evil and vice and shame deep to our core. We do not live as God has called us to live. We do not imitate God in all of our thoughts, our words, and actions. In fact, all too often people look at us and they don't see us imitating God. They see us imitating his adversary, the devil. So we repent. That word repent, as I hope you've caught by now, I talk about it a lot in sermons here, means not just to be sorry. That's part of it, that you feel contrition and sorrow over your sin. But the word repent means to turn. To turn back to your Father. Jesus tells a parable in Luke chapter 15 of someone who did repent, turn back to their father, a prodigal son. A son who took his inheritance, ran off, spent it in wild living, came back with his tail between his legs to a father who forgave him and welcomed him with open arms. To repent means to return to your father. And that brings us back to the beginning of what I said about the Lord's Prayer, that he is our Father, and we are his children. There's something important about being a father that you need to understand. That being a father is never something that happens because of the action of the child. No child can ever set out to say, okay, I'm going to do what it takes to be a child of that person. I want that person to be my father. You are either the father of a child because that child is born of you, or because of adoption. Never because the child does something to warrant it. It's an act of grace, an act of love, an act of God's work through the Holy Spirit. All of you who are parents, fathers and mothers who have children, your child never made a choice to be your child, but either you gave birth to that child, or in some cases took someone in as your child. We don't make ourselves into God's children. And that's really important to understand about this text about Paul. Or that Paul gives us. Paul's not given us a laundry list of things you have to do to be God's child. He's telling you how God's children are to behave. And that is a significant, profound difference. You don't make yourself into God's child. You are God's child, whether you like it or not. Whether you're a prodigal son who runs away from him, or one who acknowledges sin and shame and sorrow in your own life and turns to him in repentance, Those who come to our Wednesday services have heard me say this several times, that there are little words in Scripture that have beautiful power and meaning to them. And we have one in our text today. Here's one, for example. The most famous Bible passage of all, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. You know the beautiful little word in there? It's so. I think I preached on that earlier this year. It doesn't mean that God loved us so much. It means that God loved us so, thusly, in this way, by sending his son. Well, we have one of those little words in our text today. And it occurs three times in the last three verses. Let me read it again, see if you can catch the little word that makes a world of difference. Verse 32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Does anyone know the little word there that makes all the difference? It's the little word as. You might skip over that word. It doesn't seem like a very significant word, but it makes all the difference. Be kind to one another, Paul writes, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Paul doesn't say, forgive one another, and then God in Christ will forgive you. He says, as Christ forgave you. He says, be imitators of God as beloved children. Because you are already beloved children of the Father. He says, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. You are already loved by Christ. What a great little word, as. Paul's telling us as God's children how to behave. And what father doesn't have expectations for his children? They're steep expectations. To put off the old self, put on the new self. We often call that old self the old Adam. That sin and wickedness and evil that we've inherited from Adam himself, that's been passed on to us, that we are born with, that we are conceived with. Paul reminds us to put that off, to put on the new person you are in Christ, because you know what? You're no longer just a slave to sin, condemned to death and destruction and the decay of the grave. You are a child of God. You are beloved children. Because even though you were born and conceived in sin, fallen from our Father and Creator who created us to be holy and perfect and to reflect his image, God was not content to leave you to sin. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, the bread from heaven, the bread of life who comes down from heaven to us. He sent that Jesus to give his life into death upon the cross so you could once again be called beloved children of God. And that's what you are. Not by virtue of what you do, not by virtue of your good works. You are the children of the Father because the Father always loves you. You know that prodigal son, when he ran away, he didn't stop being his father's son. Sure, he missed out on all the joys, all the benefits, all the blessings of being his father's son. But that father never forgot him and opened his arms in celebration when he returned home. You are beloved children because you are loved in Christ and in his cross by your father. And as beloved children, Paul reminds us to be imitators of God. This past week, I spent a lot of my evenings. We had a pretty busy week with vacation Bible school here getting things ready and doing things throughout the week. But I did spend most of my evenings over at the high school practice field watching Paul going through JV football practice. And it was definitely a trip, a throwback, seeing him out there practicing football, remembering doing that myself. And when he was running sprints one day, I suppose I should have been feeling sorry for him that he had to be running sprints out in the heat. But I was actually kind of struck by how much he reminded me of myself. Because I remember running those sprints, and I could just kind of see him when I was a much thinner guy, those arms and legs kind of just trying to pull them in and get them to do what you want. And I saw for a second a son, not even knowingly, imitating his father. You are imitators of God, your heavenly Father, because Christ is in you and his Holy Spirit is in you. Hear of his love, receive his gifts, let him love you so that you in turn can go out and love. Be forgiven so that you can now forgive. And it works that easily. We imitate God by first letting him love us, give us what he wants to give us, so that we in turn go out and give it to others. God grant us to do this now and always for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.